own visit. I watched for a moment, recognizing individual characters, but no words. Nevertheless, I had an epiphany. I would have to pass on to Master Centuraxita in the morning. The inscriptions on the pillars did begin at the upper right and read downward. For the first column, the second column read from the bottom upward, then the third read back down, and so on. I became more interested in the things moving amongst the pillars, though. There were some big shadows out there, things with a presence potent enough to terrify and scatter the little shadows radiating hunger as they crawled over the surface of our protection. The big ones would not come closer. They had about them an air of infinite, wicked patience that left me convinced they would be out there waiting if it took 1,000 years for one of us to screw up and open a gap in our protection. In dream, all roads leading into the circle were equally well-defined. Each was a glimmering ruler stroke running off to glowing domes in the distance. Of all those roads and domes, though, only those on our north-south trace seemed to be fully alive. Either the road knew what we wanted to do, or it knew what it wanted us to do. In an instant, I was amazed, bewildered, terrified, exultant, having realized that in order to see what I was seeing, I would have to be at least 12 feet above my normal height of eye. Which meant that I had to go outside my skin, the way Mergen did. And while I had wished for the ability 1,000 times, and the view was engrossing, the risks were none I cared to face when the opportunity was real. I sped a prayer heavenward. God needs to be reminded. I was totally, ecstatically happy being sleepy, without one shred of mystical talent. Really. If it was necessary that somebody in my gang do this sort of thing, Goblin or One Eye or Uncle Doge, or almost anyone else could have the magic, sparing only Tobo, despite him being the prophesied future of the company. Tobo was still a little too short on self-discipline to be handed any more capabilities. The presence of the small shadows was kind of like that of a flock of pigeons. They were not silent on the ghost world level, but they did not try to communicate unless with one another. It took me only moments to shut them out. The skies above were more troublesome. Each time I lifted my gaze, I saw that some dramatic change had occurred. Sometimes there was an impenetrable overcast, sometimes a wild starfield and a full moon. Once there were fewer stars and an extra moon. Once a distinct constellation hung right over the road south. It conformed exactly to Mergen's description of a constellation called the Noose. Hitherto, I had always suspected the Noose to have been a fabrication on Mother Goda's part. Then, just beyond the golden pickaxe, I spied a strapping trio of the Uglies Mergen had reported meeting in that very spot his first night on the glittering plain. Were they Yakshas? Rakshasas? I tried to shoehorn them into Guni or even Kina's mythology, but just could not make them fit. There would be plenty of room, though, I did not doubt. The Guni are more flexible in matters of doctrine than are we Vedna. We are taught that intolerance is our gift of faith. Guni flexibility is just one more reason they will all suffer the eternal fires.